Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. Again, what a blessing. I look forward to Sundays just several reasons, but to assemble and just to encourage one another and by being in the same assembly, by just expecting and experiencing the presence of God in this place, and then the ministry of music, and then the preaching and the teaching of the Word. I mean, who can miss that? Amen. We have an opportunity to take all that in. Who would want to miss that? And so what a blessing it's already been here tonight as well. Mark chapter 7, we're going to be reading verses 1 down to verse 9 on Sunday nights. We're in a series on the teachings of Christ, and we've been going through the Gospels and looking at everything that Jesus Christ taught himself to be able to be encouraged and blessed by that. We have been studying this in chronological order, and so this is into the third year of his public ministry, and this would be the next event of the teachings of Christ. And so Mark chapter 7, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read verses 1 down to verse 9. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. When they saw of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands? And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And for laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you again. Lord, we thank you for what we've already experienced as being assembled here tonight. And Lord, as we continue the service, as we've read this passage of Scripture, I know, God, that you have a message for each one here tonight. So I pray that you would once again empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word. Open up the hearts and the minds for each one to receive what you have for them individually as well. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find here that Jesus rebukes the religionists of the day. Now, in Jerusalem, the main religion would be the religion of the Pharisees. The scribes would be the so-called scholars of the day that claim to know the Bible better than anyone else. That would be the scribes. They had the Old Testament Bible. The Bible they had some 2,000 years ago was the very same Old Testament that we have today. They did not have the New Testament, because that's what Jesus came to present to us, is this new covenant, the New Testament of the words of God. But they had the Old Testament. And having the Old Testament, they had the Pentateuch, they have the books of Moses, they had all the books of the prophets, and they had the books of the Psalms. And so they had everything that we have in our Old Testament. There's nothing different there. They had God's word, the Old Testament. Now, again, we do not ever want anyone to think we do away with the Old Testament. No, Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. And so everything that's in there had a purpose and is a schoolmaster for us today. And we still go back and read it and study it and learn from it, biblical principles, all the different things that are there. It's still part of the Word of God. But we have a new and living way. We have what Jesus Christ brought, which is actually within the Old Testament. They had the book of Genesis, which would have revealed that the triunity of God. They would have understood there had to be a blood sacrifice. They could have understood so many different things from the books of Moses. They could have presented the prophets and the prophecies that which have many have already been fulfilled. And up to this, up to the rapture, all the prophecies have been fulfilled. The only thing that has not been fulfilled in time is the rapture. Now, there's prophecies after the rapture, and there's a lot to be said about those things, but they had that. So they had the prophets and the prophecies of the prophets, and they had the Psalms, Psalms 22, Psalms 23. They had the same Psalms that we had. So Christ was there. The Jews claimed to believe in the God of the Old Testament Bible. And yet, they did not know the God of the Old Testament Bible. At this particular time, after the silent years, the laws and the philosophies of the religionists come into Jerusalem, which now we have when Christ came. We have the main religion, the main philosophy of man and religion to be the Pharisees. They had Christ standing before them, fulfillment of the Old Testament. If they would have known God and would have listened to God, they would have received Christ as the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. But they would reject John's introduction of Jesus, which was Old Testament prophets, especially in the book of Malachi. They would reject John the Baptist's message and presentation of Jesus as being the Lamb of God. They would reject the teachings of Christ. They would reject the New Testament church, which we know now and was there to them as the mystery of the Old Testament being revealed. The Jews do never and still do not believe in this New Testament church age. They still are waiting for the Messiah to come. So they would have said that they knew God and they believed in God, the very same God of the Old Testament, the very same God who is Jesus Christ, who's God the Son. But they would reject all these things. They were rejecting those things for their own traditions that they had established. Taking the Bible, the Old Testament, what they had, changing what they wanted, adding to, taking away from, applying it the way they wanted to apply. Somewhat like we're doing today in New Testament Christianity with the New Testament scriptures. Not living by every word. The Old Testament was every word. It had a purpose and a plan. The Jews need to focus on that purpose and that plan. But they would be, this is the third year now of his so-called public ministry, and they would be looking, it was a year of opposition, and they would be looking to find fault. And that's exactly what they did. They took exception with Jesus' disciples eating with unwashed hands. Now, you'd have to laugh a little bit about that. Come on. I mean, what they focus on was his disciples not washing their hands before they would eat. Now, Not talking about any worship service, not talking about using the different things. I understand that was somewhat part, but the idea there is when they're coming back from the market, he reveals several things about that, but they're coming back and forth from the markets. They saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled. You're actually defiled. You're defiled because you're eating something without washing your hands. Now, I know parents would love to preach that to their kids today. Amen. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't wash your hands. Yeah, I mean, that's how absurd it would have been even then if they would have thought about what they were doing. If it benefits you, then yeah, let's say whatever we need to say to get done what we want to have done. Religionists of the day are still doing that. Because it's coming from the very same source that it came from then, the devil himself. So they're washing with unwashed hands. They found fault. They were looking for fault. Go looking for fault. I guarantee you, you're going to find fault. You're looking for the perfect church. As soon as you walk through it, it's not perfect any longer. You're going to find imperfect people in every church. You're going to find sinners in every church. Maybe you're not actively living in sin, amen, but we're all sinners. If you're looking for fault, you're going to find fault. Even if it's, well, the preacher didn't shake my hand, so he must not be a very good guy. Can't sit underneath somebody that doesn't smile at me and shake my hand, pat me on the back, and yeah. So you go find somebody that's got a really big smile and see what you get. Yeah. And when they had come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. Now, this is what we have determined as the Pharisees. So no matter what we're doing, no matter what's going on, if we're coming from the market, if we're walking down the street, we cannot eat until we publicly show everybody we're going to wash our hands. Because we want everybody to wash their hands before they consume any food, any bread. That's what they're saying here. Holding the tradition of the elders. Not going back to Old Testament, going back to those who come up with the religion of the Pharisees. And it had become a tradition of this religion of the Pharisees. So when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups. My wife will tell you, if there's any spots, I'm sorry, honey, you have to wash them again. I'm not going to drink out of that. I'm kidding. Now, if there's food hanging off of the fork, honey, there's something wrong here. I guarantee you that. Got to be washed a certain way. Got to do this a certain way. Got to do that a certain way. And if you don't do it the way that I want it done, don't do it the way that of the tradition of how I was raised and what I was used to, then it's you're wrong. I'm right and you're wrong. And I'm going to find fault in that. And that's basically what he's saying they're doing. And then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, once they had all this, they ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? As a pastor, you deal with a lot of different life-changing situations. You're trying to counsel marriages to keep them from divorcing and destroying families. You're trying to counsel those that have addictions to drugs and alcohol, addictions to a lot of pornography, whatever it might be. You're trying to help them to deal with these things that are very serious, that can destroy lives. And then you have somebody come and ask you, why didn't you wash your hands before you eat? And you're finding fault. I can imagine what was going through the mind of our Savior and dealing with such ridiculous things. Yeah, they were rejecting Christ for their own tradition that they had established and not Christ. So they came to find fault. They took exception with the disciples eating with unwashed hands because they're not doing things the way that we do things as Pharisees. Publicly, they washed hands so all could see before eating and wanting everyone else to follow in what they were doing. Then they asked Jesus, why? Why aren't your disciples falling in line with everybody else? Following the training of the Pharisees. And then Jesus addresses this. And I think we can look at our own lives and a lot of different things going on in religions today and religions wanting to train people and their congregations to do this and do that, somewhat like we preached on this morning. The soldiers were trained. They're going to be trained to do naturally what they were trained to do. But who's training them? People today in the world are being trained, and they will do what they're trained to do, but are they doing what the government wants them to do? Are they doing what religion wants them to do? Are they doing what parents want them to do? Are they doing what employers want them to do? Are they doing whatever, whoever's training them? They will do what they've been trained to do. And yet we need to make sure that we are trained by the words of God so that we will do what God would have us to do, following the training of God's word. So Jesus addresses their false worship. Verse 6. And he answered and said to them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips. Now, it's in the Old Testament Bible. That's what he is presenting to them. He is quoting to them the Bible that they were supposed to be living by and following after. But he says, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And when that happens, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold to the tradition of men, as washing of pots and cups and many other such like ye do. So we find Jesus addressing this, and Jesus presents an external worship versus an internal worship. And we need to learn from that, because what he is presenting to them is that you're following an external religion and you're worshiping according to your external religion when you need to be focused on an internal faith and worshiping God from your heart. The external worship would focus on commandments of men or laws to govern behavior, thinking that all we have to do is establish another law and surely everybody will just fall in place, because we're depending upon the external laws to govern the internal behavior. And that doesn't work. Jesus' teaching on an internal worship begins with developing a love for God. Amen. Developing a love for God. In order for people to truly love God, they have to know God. They have to know of God's love. They have to know of God's sacrifice. They have to know of God's future plans for those who love Him and receive Him. That's an internal belief. So we find here what he does is he has external versus internal worship, lips. They honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They want to say the right things, but their heart is far from me. The Pharisees were more concerned about their tradition and their guidelines than they were about true worship. True worship has to come from the heart. True worship has to come from what God has revealed to us concerning Himself, His Word, and His will for our lives. That's why as we come together as a church and we are having different Sunday school classes for different age groups, and we want to raise our children by helping them to understand Bible, helping them to understand Bible stories, helping them to understand principles, helping them to understand what thus saith the Lord, and who God is and what God's will is for their lives. Because we know that true worship begins with the heart. Do we change from the outside in? Or do we change from the inside out? If it's going to be a genuine change. People look different with different attire. I know work days, I come in without a suit and tie. I come in with work clothes on. People say, "Preacher, who are you? I never would have known that was you." Because all you do is see me as I'm preaching, and I preach with a tie and always have a coat on, always preaching with. But if I'm going to work, if I'm going to paint, if I'm going to sand, if I'm going to get dirty, I don't always wear a suit and tie. And you might not even be able to recognize me outside of a suit and tie, and you might think, well, he's different than I thought. It might be difference in appearance. But can I tell you, it's the same inward religion. It's the same inward me. No matter what I have on the outside, it is who I am on the inside that matters most. I'm not saying that your outside appearance doesn't matter. It surely does matter. Because that's what people see you to be. First impression is what you look like. Your outward acts, your speech, your body language. And that is what people see you to be. But do we change from the outside in or the inside out? Ephesians in chapter 4. Jesus knew it was an external religion that he was mostly concerned about, like the Pharisees. It was the internal religion or the internal worship that made the difference. Over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 20, the Bible says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, the word is lust from within us, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so what he is saying right here, that once you, if you don't truly know Christ, if you have not first of all received him inside of you, and you have this inner man, and when you have Christ in you, then it will come out and it will affect your outward man. But it begins with the inward man. Stop trying to change from the outside in and be more concerned about the inside, which will lead to an outside change. Yeah. That's what Jesus is presenting. This external worship, which was not worship at all, versus this internal worship, which was genuinely from the heart of man. Matthew's account of this very same event is Matthew chapter 15. I want you to look there because he gives us a little bit more insight into this. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8 and 9. This is what Jesus said, Matthew's account. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor him. They draw close to him outwardly, but there's no substance to it. But in vain, he actually says. But in vain they do worship me. I mean, it's empty. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now drop down that very same passage. He says in chapter 15, 17, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? That does not affect your relationship with God. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, because they're revealing what's inside of you. Those things which proceed out of the mouth, that's your communication, that's your language, that is everything about what's inside of you coming out, come from forth from the heart, and they defile the man. If it's the wrong things coming from within, that's going to defile you. It's what's inside of us which will determine true worship and true religion, if you will. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. That's what has to change. No matter what you put on the outside, if you don't change that inside, it's not making a difference. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Stop trying to find fault. Start looking for the truth. They had the truth right before them. Instead of finding the truth, they would rather find fault because they didn't want to change their own religion, their own way of life. Salvation changes the inside. And once you make that change inside, you still have an old nature. But now inside you have a new nature. And we find what Paul would write to the Corinths over in Corinthians there in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And you know the verse as well. But he says to them, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. No, you don't have a new suit. Got the same birthday suit you were born with. That's not changing. Yeah. I used it right that time, though. I remember one time I was preaching, I said, yeah, I wanted to show off my suit. This is my birthday suit. And everybody started laughing. What did I say? You know, I didn't catch that till afterwards. My wife always helps me to understand when I mess up. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things from within are becoming new. Wow. Salvation changes the inside, and it will work its way out for a testimony to others. Before I go someplace, I've got to ask myself, what does this associate me with? And if I don't want to be associated with that worldly mentality, that kind of sin, I can't go there. Before I put my clothes on to go out where people's going to see me and going to base an opinion on me by what I have on, I have to ask myself, is this how I want to be seen? Because somebody's going to form an opinion about your testimony by what you have on. It's not about the outside primarily. And people say, well, God looks on the heart. He does. But I can't see inside of you. All you give me is what's on the outside of you. And I have to make judgment calls on my first impression by your outside appearance. So even though it's not the most important thing, it is important, but not as important that you make sure you have the right heart. And when you understand who God is and you have a love for God and you focus on that inner man, that new man will lead you to have a testimony for others to see and for others to hear. We need to keep check on the inner man so that we might have the right testimony for the outer man. I don't know about you, but I could tell by how Jesus presented this that he hated fake worship. I don't want you to smooth talk me. I don't want you to say what you think I want to hear. That's what he's saying. They worship me in vain. That's not worship. Worship comes from the heart. It's what God looks on. More than what God listens to your voice, he hears you from your heart. You cannot say the wrong things if your heart is right. You can't pray a wrong prayer if your heart is right. God listens from the heart to see if there's a love for God in our hearts. I don't like fake smiles either. Especially when people give you a fake smile and you know it's fake. And they think you can't tell the difference. But if there is a genuine inner desire to smile, there's really nothing wrong with a fake smile. If you really want to be able to smile. Sometimes people will smile as they go through tragic times. It's because they have a desire to want to smile. That's not hypocritical. To smile when you don't have any desire in your heart to smile, that's hypocritical. That's the Pharisees. to put on a pretense, to put on a fake worship, to come to church and fake it like you're one of everybody else, that you're saved and you want to worship God, and God looks and there's nothing in your heart that has a desire. It's all hypocritical. When that happens, you'd be better off not in church, not faking to worship God. I'm not telling you not to come to church, but don't come to church and act pious and act like that you love God when there's no love for God in you. But if you want there to be a love for God, you come to church and ask God to help you develop a love for Him. He can work with that. Yeah. To worship in vain is worse than no worship. Go back with me to our text and we're done here. Chapter 7, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups and many such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. Let us never fall prey to fake religion, to fake worship. Let us focus on worshiping God, beginning with developing the love that anybody who truly knows God will have for Him. And let your worship be based on that inner religion, that inner worship, which is based on your love for God. Amen. If I could have every head bowed tonight, never eye closed. That's what Jesus was addressing. That's what He was teaching His disciples. That's what He rejected the Pharisees, so they would understand what He was looking for, and genuine worship. Father, we bow before You now. We love You, and we thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your word. We thank You for how You dealt with this false religion, this pharisaical worship, and I pray, God, that You'd help us to not to fall prey to that, even in a fundamental Baptist church, but help us, God, to look to You and to learn to love You and to worship You based upon Your commandments and Your word. I pray, God, that You would strengthen our walk with You. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.